take him under advisement. We're going to go on to the very last case of the day, and that is 02-1142, Ishmael Nwanga versus the Federal Express Corporation. Good morning. Mr. Thompson.
Good morning to the panel.
Good morning.
The principal reason the court should, in its de novo review of this matter, reverse the district court is that the record shows that the relationship of the discriminatory comments that this boss made over a period of about 18 months to Mr. Nwangwa are cumulative. That is, as to each negative, each racial remark that Pruhoff would, the boss would make about Mr. Nwanga, Nwanga would then complain about it to him, and shortly thereafter, as the phrase goes, a short temporal sequence, I think they call it, he would then get written up for something, sometimes real, sometimes imagined. But the other employees were not being written up for this, according to Nwanga's testimony. He complained to the boss about it on numerous occasions.
But what on the record shows that the three employees are similarly situated? And not, you know, where is there evidence in the record of their race, their age, their gender, their disciplinary history?
Nwanga, in his testimony, frankly, is where it comes from. He says that there are three, I believe, other station managers or subordinates under Pruhoff.
Right.
And in my brief, I refer to the page, I forget what page it is now, but we identified in the brief the reference to his testimony that there were these three people who were one male, two females, I believe, who got better treatment than he did.
Right. He offered his own opinion, but
well, that's
we don't know their actual race. We don't know, well, all the things that
I understood him to have stated that these employees were white.
So, but you didn't get any evidence. There were, they weren't deposed. There were no records that corroborated what he said.
That's correct.
Just his statement.
That's correct. And as I understand the Lujan case that I cite in support of the summary judgment standard from the Supreme Court, once he has made a statement that's contrary to whatever the other side is saying under oath, it precludes summary judgment. There's a whole lot of other case law floating around there from this circuit and other places, but it's still not what the Supreme Court said.
But doesn't he have to give specifics? Doesn't he have to give more specifics than the general allegation?
As to the racial?
As to those three, yes.
As to the
specific situations related.
Well, he has given, I believe, Judge, he's given specific things. So on page 4 of my brief, he rattles off a list of things, the two or three of which are most bizarre, the Great Al Campanis episode, and then I think perhaps the most damning one to the company is the one where the boss says, we're not going to let you go to regional meetings because this isn't an affirmative action exercise, and we can't understand what you're saying any better than the Secretary of Green
Williams,
Diesel.
Judge Williams and I are both talking about the other employees, the similarly situated employees.
Well, that would perhaps, I assume you're referring more to the age case and to the sex discrimination cases. Well, those are admittedly weaker than the race case and the retaliation case. He did testify to it, but what Judge Williams said is correct. We didn't depose them, and we do not have, other than his statements of it, we don't have any additional evidence as to their, with respect to those two claims, to their comparability.
See, like here you say, because this is pretty powerful, he says his boss retaliated and wrote him up for numerous phony performance issues while not treating the other white, female, and younger managers who were similarly situated in this discriminatory manner.
Correct. And his testimony is that they didn't. Or that they did not give them this sort of discipline and this sort of discriminatory treatment. And as I understand it, for the purpose of summary judgment, that's to be accepted.
So he doesn't have to give any details or provide any, you know, dates that this, these things happened or any specifics as to these managers?
Other than that we know it all happened in the period between November of 97 and January of 99, when they eventually terminated. So did he remember the specific times? No, not necessarily. But that gets into, again, the Lujan case and also the Stone case that I referred to from the circuit, which talks about weighing evidence, and the court's not supposed to be weighing the evidence. It may or may not be credible. It may or may not win him the case, but it certainly raises a fact dispute for the purposes of Rule 56. I'll reserve whatever time I have left.
Thank you. Mr. Morgan.
May it please the court, I'm Colby Morgan, representing Federal Express. Your Honor, Federal Express has a policy known as the Performance Improvement Policy. It's applied nationwide to all of our employees. It's designed to assist employees in having a high performance, a high level of performance, and if they encounter difficulties, to assist them in approaching better performance. And if, in fact, they cannot improve their performance deficiencies, then there are provisions in the policy for discipline. What this case is about is an employee who developed a long history of performance deficiencies. It's undisputed. He was given many opportunities. In fact, even before the first reminder that he was given, which is a form of discipline, he was given numerous counseling by Mr. Fruhoff. Ultimately, Mr. Fruhoff gave him a performance reminder, and this was followed during the course of 12 months by two further performance reminders. It's FedEx policy that if an employee receives three performance reminders within 12 months, that employee should be terminated. That's what happened in this case. Several months later, Mr. Nwangwa wrote up what he considered to be a laundry list of racial comments that he attributed to Mr. Fruhoff, but he never, during the course of his employment, filed any type of internal EEO complaint. The record is very, very unclear. In fact, the record is devoid of any complaints, at least formal complaints, showing that Mr. Nwangwa engaged in any type of protected activity at all. So Mr. Nwangwa was terminated for legitimate reasons, but he never really even satisfies his prima facie case. He can't show that he was performing well other than in his conclusory allegation that he had good performance. And he has shown that there were no comparators who were treated more favorably than he. So he doesn't even get past his prima facie case. I understand that Mr. Nwangwa believes that he has raised sufficient facts under Lujan and its progeny. However, he has really not done anything more than make conclusory allegations. He has not set out specific facts in his memoranda or in discovery supporting his conclusory allegations. So that therefore when he makes statements such as you know, Mr. Fruhoff made a repeated slur against me. That's a conclusion. It's not a fact. It doesn't set out specific facts. That's the type of thing you would see in a pleading. When he says that comparable employees were treated more favorably than me, it's the same situation. Or that there was suspicious timing. Or my performance was good. Or the discipline was phony. All these are just conclusions. They may belong in a pleading, but once you get beyond the pleading stage, Mr. Nwangwa is obligated to come forward with specific underlying facts supporting each of those conclusory remarks. And this he has failed to do. Now, granted, some, taking or assuming that the comments were allegedly made by Mr. Fruhoff, now, they are nothing more than stray remarks. There's been no effort at all by Mr. Nwangwa to tie any of the comments, however insensitive they may have been, no effort by him to tie those comments to any of the performance reminders that were issued. The court is left with, I guess, having to guess, just as FedEx is having to guess, how these comments tie in. Where is the causal relationship? There is no causal relationship. Mr. Nwangwa, in contrast, has admitted the facts involved in both the first and the third performance reminders. He even agreed to prepare a plan of action to turn his performance around. With regard to the second performance reminder, he simply says all of the jobs were filled. Again, he doesn't provide any supporting documentation. So, Your Honor, really, Mr. Nwangwa's entire claim is based on conclusions and not facts. FedEx has come forward with facts, data, corroborating evidence, supporting the termination in this case. There are no comparators. There's no indication at all that any employee with three performance reminders was treated more favorably. You know, if Mr. Nwangwa came into court and said, Your Honors, there was a male employee who had three performance reminders, but he wasn't terminated, then maybe we'd have a different case. But that's not what we have here. There are no comparators. There are no facts. FedEx has proven that we acted consistently with policy and did the right thing in this case. Your Honors, we refer you to our brief unless there are any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Morgan. Mr. Thompson, 4 minutes.
As I understand the Stone case that came out recently, if in fact all this stuff was said by the boss to the subordinate, and the subordinate then complains and is then written up, you don't need comparables, because the test is, that'd be the test under the McDonnell-Douglas scheme of alternate Bangkok. But here we have a fact issue, several, about 8 or 9 of them actually, whether or not the boss could actually have honestly believed that Nwangwa's performance was bad based on the statements that are testified to that he made, which are at best racially insensitive. And at worst, somebody should have punched him in the nose for it. There were complaints made. He made complaints to Fruhoff on a regular basis about this, which, as I've indicated, would get him punished. He then also made complaints to the woman in the Human Resources Department, who, as I recall, told him that he shouldn't be so tense about it all, and he should just take this kind of stuff as a joke. That's nuts. She shouldn't have said it, and it makes his case for him. Yes, there is a causal relationship. I discussed that at the beginning. Once this guy says this racially motivated stuff to the subordinate, subordinate complains about it. Boss then writes up the subordinate one or two of them he disputes. One of them he admits but argues that it isn't proper. And I know you can't ever argue whether something's proper or not in the super personnel argument. But the better argument here is that he could not honestly have believed that the guy's performance was this bad because he was doing it for arguably racial reasons because he wanted to get rid of this, as he called him, the little Nigerian. So for these reasons, in your de novo review, there are sufficient facts on the record to show that there was discrimination, and the district court should be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson, and thank you, Mr. Morgan. The case will be taken under advisement.